You might like to turn in your Bible. Over to Isaiah. And chapter 46. Isaiah chapter 46. Perhaps we look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you and thank you and thank you. So, Spirit of God, do what you do. Help us. And we'll thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Taking a piece from Sunday school that is relevant, and in the remember now in the Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9. Remember the former things of old. Why? For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. God is doing what he does, as only he can do it. And we share together, we need to understand, if we can, we use the illustration of an airplane, and being in the airplane at night, you're flying across 500-something miles an hour. And in the process, you're very relaxed. You can do what you do. But you're moving right through across the country. And all the things that exist are existing while you're moving. You don't know it. You don't feel it. You're just being carried. Time and the calendar, the clock and the calendar are carrying us, as we shared with the earth, spinning around 1,000 miles an hour in the process. Now, here we are sitting in the room, and we're doing what we're doing. And as far as we're concerned, this is it. This is where we are, and this is what we're doing. All the while that we're sitting here, around us, so taking place at the same time, are all that the nation's politics are doing all over the world. China's doing what it's doing, and Russia's doing what it's doing. Venezuela's doing what it's doing. Everyone's doing what they're doing. At the same time, all that is there is surrounding us and affecting us, affecting and effecting us. And add another circle around that, and you have all of the social and all of the stuff that's changing, which we did. All of it's changing, the whole system of thinking, influenced by communism, etc. All of that is there. In our country, terribly so. It's there. And that's surrounding us. And in the process of surrounding us, and then there's the politics, there's the religions, they're all there, all doing what they're doing. And they're there more or less, Islam, all of it. And then you add to that technology and the exponential rise, technology, artificial intelligence, and all of that. And we did all those things. All of those things are happening around us. Just like we're sitting here, each of those things are doing what they're doing at the same time, even though we're sitting here. Now, and we need to understand that. So it is, our little world is in the bigger world, and the bigger world is being carried down the corridor of time on a collision course with God. Now, having said that, keeping in mind, over if I can to Ecclesiastes. And in Ecclesiastes, picking up, please. In verse chapter 3, remember, there's a time. Chapter 3, Ecclesiastes, verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Everything is taking place. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, etc. Now, having said that, and all of that's taking place as we get down the corridor of time. And in the process, that's the world we live in. And here's all these, we're surrounded by all that is happening that influences us, even though we don't know it. You're in the airplane, you don't know you're moving, but boy, you are moving. You don't even know it. You took a nap for 10 minutes and opened your eyes, and you're no more in Connecticut, you're in Wyoming. Nothing to say, it just happens. That's where we are. You need to understand that. So what, God, I need to be able to handle this. Therefore, in the process, here's it all, Ecclesiastes. What's the point? Asset to have in one hand and you lose in the other. Ecclesiastes and chapter 3, verse 11. He hath made, God hath made everything beautiful, useful, purposeful in his time. Also, he has set the world, eternity, in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. You know, reminding ourselves, all of it's there, and we don't control it, we don't even understand it, but it is surely happening. Now, in the process, it's sliding down, if I can, to verse 14. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, why? That men should fear before him. So God, we live in this world, we don't control it, we don't understand it, but we're being carried by it and influenced by it. And we need to understand, God, can we put the pieces together, the circles, the religion, the technology? No, we can't. Why did you do this, God, this mess that we live in, as it were? You can't understand it without God. Leave God out, and you're in darkness, and you don't understand. Ecclesiastes, chapter 7. And verse 13, consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he, God, hath made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful. In the day of adversity, consider that God also has set the one over against the other, to the end, purpose, that man should find nothing after him. When you take everything on earth in every way, shape, or form, all that's happening, you can't put the pieces together. You can't get it. It's all happening, but you can't put it together. Can't do it. Over to, if I can, chapter 7. Chapter 7 I just read. Over, if I can, chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 17. Then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that God, that work that is done under the sun. Because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, rather, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it out. How does anyone put the, you can't put the pieces together without God. That's why God has given his word, so that we can get through this, because we aren't putting the pieces together. They're always there. Now, chapter 9. Chapter 9 and verse 11. I returned, said some, and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. Verse 12. For man also knoweth not his time. We just don't. But my time is in your hands, but God, without it, without you, I can't even understand it. As the fishes that are taken in the evil net, as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time, redeeming the time because the days are evil. When it falleth suddenly upon them, we just don't. We know, but we don't know. It all is happening. Therefore, the conclusion, chapter 12, and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion to the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Why? For God shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God's going to do what he's doing, and God's outworking his wonderful will. And here we are on planet Earth, being God's given us his word. We know the world isn't going up, it's going down. Now, Matthew chapter 7. The Gospel of Matthew and chapter 7. And you will note chapter 7, our Lord is going to say it. Here's the world. The world's drawing down the corridor of time, and they want God on their terms. And of course, if you're going to do that, God has to help the people understand in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, help them understand that the world needs to go in the right direction for the right reasons to come out right. Chapter 7, verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, narrow gate. Why? For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because, verse 14, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, so here's God. God, you're telling us we're going down the corridor of time, and we can't put the pieces together. You've given us your word to be able to understand. But apart from that, God, we're stuck. We're stuck with our communism seeking to be communist, and Islam seeking to be Islam, and each thing, socialism, everyone's seeking to do what they do, the Great Reset, everyone's trying to do what they're going to do. That's what they're doing. Here's the circles. We're spinning in the middle of them. We're right in the middle of it. Everyone's trying to do what they do. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, so God, what are we going to do? We're going to have to go and look and remember that we're strangers and pilgrims. going down the corridor of time, when God saves us in a most wonderful way and makes us new creatures in Christ and gives us a wonderful, wonderful exercise of being in time, looking to be with Him. In time, being His witness until we get to see with Him. And God leaves us in the middle of time and therefore leaving us. Here we are in a world. They are putting the piece together. Everyone's doing the thing as if it was the thing. That's what they're doing. So, in the process, what do we need to do? We need to understand, as strangers and pilgrims, that being in it but not of it, as believers, we're not looking. We're not looking for the society to get better. We aren't looking for that. People look for that. They look for that. After the Second World War, I hope there'll be another war. And always the hope to get better. But it doesn't get better. Therefore, don't be looking. Don't be discouraged. It's not going to get better because it has to finish its course. Therefore, and not looking for society to give a hearing ear. You'd think people would want to wake up and pay attention, and there are all kinds of books written, wonderful books that would be helpful in understanding, especially in our own country, of what's happening. But they're read and whatever, and the wonderful information of what's happening. But we can't stop it. We don't stop it. You would think people hear their ears the right information, but they don't do it. They don't do it. Why don't they do it? It's the right thing to do. But we don't follow it. We follow the system where we're going. So wouldn't we want to fix things? But don't be discouraged. People don't want to fix things. They don't want to fix them. Don't you want to try to make it right? But you can't. What's the sense? What's the use? Now, and therefore, don't be discouraged. Don't be disappointed. Don't be discouraged, disappointed. And all the efforts that are made, don't get discouraged. And common sense solutions, that's so easy to do things. But who works by common sense solutions? We just don't. They seem so hard, but they're so easy, but we don't do them. So therefore, don't be disillusioned. Don't be disillusioned to lose the picture. Don't see it wrong. See where it is and what's happening so that you can be in it and survive in it without getting caught up in it and lose what? To lose an understanding of God's wonderful, wonderful grace, that God has done something wonderful. We're born into the world, and all the world system is surrounding us in all kinds of ways, happening at once. Now, having said that, and therefore, we need to understand. Over, if I can, please, to pick up the thought. Over, if I can, in the light of that, over to Mark chapter 7. Gospel of Mark and chapter 7. What, you know, under having all this information that is explained to us about systems and the politics and everything else, all of that is there. But if you don't have understanding, all the explanations in the world don't do you much good. You got to have understanding. What are we? You just said something. I want to understand it. If I don't understand it, it passes right by me. So here I am going down the corridor of time, and in Mark, and in chapter 7, picking up our Lord in chapter 7 and verse 18. And if I may, verse 15. There is nothing from without a man that entereth into him that can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. What am I to be hearing and understanding? And when he was entered into the house from the people, the disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said unto them, Are you so without understanding? Also, they didn't understand. The disciples didn't understand. Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, and it cannot defile him? So anything, you put your clothes on, that can't defile him. You eat the food, whatever you do, that doesn't defile. It's an internal problem. And it's nothing to do with the physical body and physical things. It's a spiritual, internal problem. And therefore, because it entereth not, verse 19, into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out the draught, purging all meats. In other words, you should understand the system, and then as you go just a little further, it may help you. And he said, that which cometh out of a man, that defileth a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders. These have nothing to do with what you eat. Thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil heart, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within and defile a man. Do you understand that? He said. Do you understand the problem? The problem isn't what you think it is. The problem's an internal problem with your heart. Sliding over to chapter 8. And chapter 8. And in verse 16, 8 and 16. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is because, remember now, I'm going to read verse 15. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is, because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, saith unto them, Why reason ye among yourselves? Because you have no bread. Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? You need to understand. So all the words you say, but if you don't have an understanding, what good is it to you? If you didn't understand it. I've had people say that. You know, I don't understand. I don't understand you. Now, picking up, please, if I can, in chapter 8, verse 18. Having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not. Do ye not remember? When I break the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up with the full baskets? And they say unto him, 12. And when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. Verse 21. And he said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? Simple things. Our Lord said, without going there, John chapter 1:3, Nicodemus, well, I'll do it. Over to John chapter 3. And chapter 3 with Nicodemus. I'll read verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a leader, a teacher, come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith, and how can a man be born when he is old? How can that happen? Can he enter into the second time into his mother's womb and be born? No. He didn't understand. Why don't you understand? Verse 19, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, thou art a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verse 11, verily, verily, I say unto you, that we speak that which we know, do know, and testify that which we have seen, and perceive, and receive ye not the same, receive ye not our witness. And now, so the problem, Nicodemus, you should know, you're a teacher. No, he didn't know. Over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, picking up if I may. 2 Timothy 2. If I may, I'm picking up in verse 7. Our Lord, saying it simply, quickly, in the light of verse, all that you need to be a good soldier, you need to understand being separated, you need to don't be entangled in the world, etc., etc. Verse 7, 2:7. Consider what I say unto thee, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. God, you got to help us. And you have to say that. Sometime you can catch on to something quickly, but you may not catch on to the things you need to. So God, you got to help us. Help us understand. And as we're seeking to understand inch by inch, we get a little bit. We get a little bit about the world spinning around and orbiting the sun and all of that wonderful things. And we get that, all the circles, all the things that are happening around us right now, and all influencing us, all going in the same direction, but we just don't realize it because it's quiet, and here we are in the building. Wow. Now, God, you have to help us. And we get a little bit, pieces. You can't understand all of Revelation, for instance, or Ezekiel. How are you going to understand that in a moment? It takes time. It takes time. You can't go in the first grade and jump to the 10th grade and know everything. Now, there's some people that can get away with part of that, but most of us can't do that. We have to stumble through the multiplication table, and we stumble through the multiplication table and maybe get some other thing a little further along, but we didn't get it all at once. We have to get it inch by inch. You need to be patient with God. If you're a believer, you need to thank God, A, that he's given you life, and B, that you're to enjoy that life, and C, you're going to learn about that life, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade. You're going to learn about it. Give yourself some space. That's how you get it. You're going to say it over and over again. Think of you, some of you have said it, and some of you have gone through it. We've been going for a long, long, long time. And think of Romans chapter 6. Reckon yourself dead indeed unto verse 11. Sin unto life unto God. Okay? We did that at square one. We're way back in the beginning. That's where we started. We started with all this. We didn't come to it. What did we do? We grew. And then some guy, after we say it, and you'll hear me say, well, you know all this stuff. I say that. You know all this stuff. But you should know it a little bit. But you have to learn it. And then I have people who have been a member for 75 years. And have been a member for 75 years. And they say, boy, I finally got a pastor. Finally got it. It took all that time. Right, that's the pieces keep coming together, like the puzzle. And that's what you have to do. It isn't done like this. We have a big picture, but then we got to get an explanation. We want to understand it. And that's why we have to go through what we do and the way we do it. Therefore, with that in mind, going on that particular journey, let's consider, hey, here we are. So what are we going to do? We're going to have to go in the light of yesterday, in the light of yesterday. What do you understand about your yesterdays? Your yesterdays are all gone. You can't have them back. You might have a picture. You might have a film. You might have some other way, but you can't have them back. They're all gone. They're all past. God, why are you the answer? Because God, when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, God does a wonderful thing. And here's our past, born dead in sins, and God saves us in a wonderful way, takes care of it. Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. And you will note, where were you until you came to know the Lord as your Savior? What was your condition? What is our condition? Chapter 2, verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, the ruler, the power of the air, the devil, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, not believing. Among whom also we all, no one except all exceptions, had our conversation, our way of living in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So we're all there. That's right. We're all there. Chapter 2, sliding down to verse 12. That of verse 11. Wherefore, remember that you being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision, that means you weren't Jewish, by that which is called circumcision, Jews, in the flesh made by hands. In other words, you knew you weren't connected. Verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers, in the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. Now that's where you were. That's how you were doing. Wow. Now in the process of that, if I can, in chapter 4. In chapter 4, verse 17, this I say therefore and testify of the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. Why? Because you used to do that in the vanity of your mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and with greediness. Verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ. God did a wonderful thing. He saves us. He takes care of our past in a most wonderful way. He takes care of our human existence with all of its condition, dead in trespasses and sin. That's our problem. God does something wonderful. Chapter 1. And in chapter 1, picking up, please. Ephesians chapter 1, if I may, in verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted, highly favored, in the beloved in Christ. We're super duper favored, special, special, special. Be special. You are special. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. God took and died on the cross and bare our sin in his own body on the tree, and therefore we have been forgiven. Now that takes care of all my yesterdays. I think of it, you think of it, in your life, going back in history, you go back down the corridor of time and think of things sometimes that pop into your head of what you did or said, and boy, he said, how could I have done that? God, you took care of all of that. I don't need to bring all of the past. I don't need to keep the past. I don't need to store the past in the wrong way in my head and heart. I don't need to do that. God took care of it. It has been forgiven. Christ died on the cross and took care of it. I don't have it. Now I got it in my mind, but God doesn't have it in his mind. God doesn't have it. God, who can never forget and knows everything at once, chooses not to know your sin. Why? He died on the cross to take care of it. So when God, we're in his presence. God, how do you see us? I see you in and because of my Son. And as you know the Lord as your Savior, as we do, God sees us in Christ, forgiven. All of that which is in our mind and heart that we can drag from the past, think about, worry about, fret about, God sees it forgiven. I don't. You may not. But God does. And I need to understand that. Because I tend to, God, do you, I think of something we did to sin. God said, I'm done with it. I need to be able to do what? Understand. I need to understand God. When you died on the cross, you took me, took us to the place of death. And dead people don't have any more bills to pay. And they don't have any more problems with anything or anyone. They're dead. God said, the past is yesterday. I do not see it like you do. Fortunately. Because we see it, and that's our trouble with trying to trust God, isn't it? We're trying to trust God all the time we got in our mind. Well, God, we aren't quite where we should be, as we should be. So therefore, God, I want to trust you. I'm not enjoying being forgiven. Forgiven. Thank you. Thank you. Wow. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so what are we going to do, God, in the light of the past? We're going to have to leave it with you. I don't want to continue in the past. I don't want to carry it. I leave it. Now, we learn from the past, and we benefit from the past, but I don't want the past to be a pest to me. I don't want the past to be a problem. My past is done, and I want to exercise it in the light of being a new creature in Christ. Christ died on the cross to forgive me. How am I going to handle the past in the presence of Christ? He's given me a life, present tense, that I have right now. I have, we're to have a wonderful relationship to God. We're to enjoy his wonderful, wonderful presence in a most wonderful way. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life. Either I have the Son or I don't. What about all the other subjects? No? Christ is your life. Now, so what am I going to do? I'm going to enjoy the outworking, the outliving of my relationship to God. He saves us in the most wonderful way, and I'm to enjoy that. I'm not going to bring the past. No, I can't bring the past. No, can't do that. No, God, I got to leave it. Got to leave all of that. We walk by faith and not by sight in God's wonderful, wonderful grace. So therefore, in the light of that, keeping that in your mind, so here's my present and truth. Remember now, truth. Truth doesn't worry about evil, error, and light doesn't worry about darkness, and life doesn't worry about death. No matter how dark it is, we're going up parts of our earth where it becomes dark 24 hours a day. But then there's a light. And no matter how dark the night, no matter how heavy the darkness, the light doesn't go out. The light doesn't go out. The little candle stays lit. It just stays lit. The news is there. The world is there. It's all spinning around, and we're all being carried. And there's the light. And the light doesn't change. Doesn't change at all. So God, how am I going to handle the past in the light of what you've done for me? In my present moment in you, with you, takes care of all my past. So I don't want it to be a pain in the neck to me. I don't want it to hinder me. I want to be able to enjoy the moment, life. Now, God, in enjoying the moment or in exercising the moment, in this present moment, what am I going to do in the light of the future? In the light of the future, God, how am I going to handle that? I haven't lived it yet. And all the world's outworking it. I'm being carried, like in the plane. I'm being carried. I'm in the room. The room's being a part of the system, surrounded by the system. I'm being carried by it, God. It's all going to end up having to answer to you. But in the process, you have saved us at a given place at this moment in time. And so as we travel down the corridor, my past is all there. It's all there. No matter how you look at it. But it isn't anymore. Because it isn't about my past. It's about my moment. Old things have passed away. Behold, everything has become new. So God, here I am going down the corridor, and my life is yours. You're my life. Simply, you're my life, God. No matter what the weather, no matter what's happening anywhere, God, we're always in your presence, being forgiven and having life, having a relationship to you because of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son. And I have a relationship to you. So God, how am I going to go? I'm going to have to go into the future. And I'm going to go into the future. I want to understand my past. I don't want to just hear it or think about it. I want to understand what you've done with my past. I want to understand the present. I just don't want to say have life. I want to understand having life. What is it to have life? It's to have you, God, in a most wonderful, wonderful way, to know you. So what am I going to do in the future? I have no idea. I know I'm being carried, and all the things are going to be, they sure are. But, God, you have made everything new in my relationship to you, and I'm to exercise that with thanksgiving. And therefore, as I'm looking to the future, and I'm standing looking to God, What am I going to do? Over to 1 Corinthians. God's going to do a wonderful, wonderful thing. 1 Corinthians and in chapter 15. And you recall 1 Corinthians 15, like in the light of the future, God, all things working together for good, God's going to do his wonderful, wonderful thing. And therefore, we're going to go on living. We're living in God's timelessness. Remember, God has no time. Time is ours. We have a problem with the clock and the calendar. God does not. God looks at the clock and calendar. We're living under the clock and calendar. But all of the clock and the calendar is in the middle of God's timelessness for his glory and honor. God puts us in time as a birth, our birth. We come to know the Lord as our Savior in time. And in time we're to be a testimony of the light in the darkness. And then God will take us. Why? God saves us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God's going to go and do a wonderful thing in the head and heart. So God, my future, I don't have to look to the future. You are my future. When can I ever be separated from you? Never. When am I, all I'm going to do, absent from the body, to be present with you. That which I know in part, I'll know in full. I'll have understanding. I need to have understanding. God, you, Christ in you, the whole glory. God, Christ in us, who is our life. And 1 Corinthians 15. Now, verse 50. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Changed in the twinkling of an eye. Wow. Wow. In a moment. In a splitting of a second. A splitting of an atom. In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That's what we're going to do. Now, God, what are we looking for? We're looking to God to go home. Blessed, the blessed hope that's set before us in Titus. We're looking for your coming. That's what we're doing. We're here until we're there. But long as we're here, you're here. You're here. And you're here, God. And you're here in us. And when you come, you're going to take us, because we belong to you. You are the owner. You're going to take us from here. We aren't going to move, really. We're just going to find ourselves fully and finally in yourself. We're going to find ourselves 1,000,000,000% in who you are. And all that you are. So God, at any given moment, you are having life. In the midst of death, disease, dying, and the world system that's moving rapidly, and we're in the middle of it. But in the middle of it, like in the eye of a hurricane, to be still as a stone. And the sun shines, and it's quiet. We're right in the middle of the storm. The storm is busy, busy, busy. But God, we're safe as can be, because my past and my present and my future is all summed up in one word. My life in you, God. You are my life. You, my timeless Savior, my eternal Father, you bring your timelessness and your eternalness to my little heart. And when it's all done, God, the world's going to end up on a collision course with you. But God, I'm waiting. We're waiting. Even so, come. Our Father and God, thank you. We could just think a moment or two of where we are and how we are and how it's going. And that God would have the benefit, just the benefit of light in the darkness, a benefit of life in the death, the benefit of being just knowing and honoring you in the midst of the whole thing. So God, we can't explain it. It's beyond our understanding. And yet, God, you have told us and you require that we understand these things, that we would be the beneficiaries with understanding. God, I want to understand inch by inch, little by little. God, keep us understanding, and we'll thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.